Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Fan is your station. We want to hear from you. Call The Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook. Better odds and favorable prices.
Alrighty, 11:01 here on The Fan. It's the Tiki and Tierney Show. Yankee tickets coming up at 12:20. Yankees rolling. Mets hit a little bump, a little speed bump of the road here. You know, remember the whole debate we had? It started on social media. It infiltrated the show. A lot of emotions were flying around. Met fans were annoyed. The whole debate, Teak, about the which New York team had the better rotation, the Yankees or the Mets.
Yep.
Not staff, because Yankees pen, outside of Chapman, actually, has been phenomenal. And it's, I think, you know, most
it is
people.
One game.
You really know, I hear you. Although I'm not comfortable with Chapman. We'll get to that later.
Michael King.
Yeah, maybe. Well, maybe. But, yeah, I think I need to apologize because, in hindsight, that was a very short-sighted, very limited conversation on my end.
I knew you were going to use that word. I don't know why.
Did you really? Wait, which one? Short-sighted?
Short-sighted.
Limited?
Short-sighted.
Okay.
I could hear it coming out of your mouth
That's
before you said it.
Boy, you know the cadence, don't you?
I really do.
You know the mind, predictable. So I do need to apologize for this because it was very limiting. You know, when I first broached this, it was Yankees-Mets, you know, having a little local fun. The better conversation is, do the Yankees have the best starting staff in baseball?
Mm.
That's really the question.
I mean, I don't know if I can say it yet. Again, and a lot of this is on Nestor because of where we think Nestor is going. And if he stays this way, if he stays, you know, sub 1.5 ERA, you know, he's increasing. Like, we talk about stretching out your starting pitchers. It's almost sequential. Five and a third innings, 6 1/3. Seven and a third, eight. Like, he's going to start throwing complete games soon. You know what I mean? He's getting better with his locating. Not better, but you know what I mean? He's not walking anybody. And when he does walk guys, it's like he's walking them because he knows he can't get them out type of thing on this at-bat. So he's turning to elite. And if Gerrit Cole becomes Gerrit Cole and Seve gets back on track, because he's taking a little bit of a, you know, a side here. But if Seve gets back on track, maybe you could say that. Montgomery doesn't get run support, so his win-loss record doesn't look right. But his ERA looks right, just at about three.
Just went over three over the weekend.
That's right.
Barely.
And so, I mean, the ones that jump out, maybe the Dodgers is better. But you could have that argument.
You
for
can.
Sure.
At least now, you know, in the middle of May, Dodgers 2.4. This is just the starting staff rotation. Dodgers 2.45, D-backs 2.51.
The D-backs?
D-backs, yeah. I mean, it's been a renaissance for Mad Bum. Yeah, those numbers are a little mystifying. And the Yankees are at 2.93, number three. You know what's interesting? You hear this a lot, and you hear this both ways. Like, when a young hitter has a good rookie season, you hear, and it's with justification, it's baseball.
Yeah.
Well, now the league is going to have a book on so-and-so, and now it's up to the young hitter to make adjustments, which will invariably come.
Do that with all sports. Quarterbacks, yeah, now we know what your book is.
Yep, that's true. I guess, all sports, that's true.
They'll figure you out.
Yep. With pitchers, you hear that as well. Well, you know, the league, and I'm really focusing on Cortez for a moment here. Well, the league doesn't really know what you have, even though there's advanced data and you kind of know what's coming until you really see it go around the league a few times. The general thought is, it's going to even out, it's going to level out, and that usually applies to most. And listen, Cortez is not going to have a sub 1.75 ERA this year. He's not Sandy Koufax, but No, I'm not actually. But the aspect that I think gets completely overlooked, it's always about, well, what happens when the league figures out Cortez? Well, what happens when Cortez figures out the league, number one? And what's also happening is, as he takes the mound, he walks out there with more and more confidence.
Yeah.
And we kind of gloss over that. It's always like, well, we kind of wait for the clock to strike midnight. He's not throwing 98. He doesn't have electric stuff. This can't be really him. It's got to be a mirage. Why?
No. You know what I notice when I watch him is it, and we said this earlier, it feels like he has a plan for every single pitch. He's not standing up there shaking them off like, no, I'm not so sure about that one. No. He throws a pitch. He knows exactly what he's doing with the next pitch. He's standing there with his hand in his glove, basically looking at the batter, getting the box, because I know exactly what I'm throwing at you, and you're over there guessing because you're trying to guess when I'm throwing a slider or a curveball here, or am I coming into my fastball? Not huge discrepancy between his fastball and his slider, which he throws a lot of, 40% on the slider, 40% on the fastball. But if you end up getting that curveball and it's 76 miles an hour, you have no chance.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has this plan with every batter, which tells me he's cerebral and he's thoughtful about his preparation because he pitches so fast. It's not like he's thinking. It's not like he's guessing. It's not like he's relying too much on his catcher or maybe he's just trusting his catcher completely. His process is what is most impressive to watch because he gets through these batters and he's dominating them so far this year, BT.
He is. You know, and mentioned Cole before, like I asked Tika, I said, hey, you know, Tika, when is it okay to say that Garrett Cole's back and Cortez is the real deal? You know, you talk about adjustments from a young hitter or a young pitcher as the league kind of gets a sense and a book on you. This is interesting because velocity at this point means nothing because everybody could hit the heat if you know it's coming. But I do find it interesting that Garrett Cole, his average fastball is actually higher than it was his first year with the Yankees and exactly the same as a year ago, so that's good. He's throwing his slider 4.5% less this year, and he's throwing his changeup more. So there's been a little tweakage in what Cole's bringing to the table.
Yeah.
Which maybe keeps you slightly ahead of the game. And then as your stuff diminishes over the next couple of years, you're still very good. But Garrett Cole right now looks terrific.
No, he does.
I know that
his last four have been great.
Oh, my God. And if you really think about it, even the Tigers game, which was that's when he was getting booed in Comerica by some Yankee fans, and rightfully so. He threw, 46 pitches in the first inning? He was awful. He walked four guys. I think that, to me, it's even reassuring to look back. Now, I'm not saying that I felt that the next day when I got on the air. Trust me, I was not. I was bothered by it because it was in conjunction with that wild card game. The Red Sox lit him up, the spider attack. I get it. But I'd rather see a guy like Cole or DeGrom, or Scherzer, or any other elite pitcher, have a really bad game where he can't command the strike zone, then get absolutely lit up.
Yeah.
To me, that is more reassuring as a fan.
Well, because especially for guys like you are talking about, we know that they can find the strike zone, right? If you, that's just a control issue. That's just maybe I slept the wrong way, or have a little bit of a crick in my neck, or whatever it may be. It's different than if you're getting tattooed, because that means that you are finding the strike zone and the batters are not fooled
correct
by anything.
Absolutely. That's exactly where I was going. So I'll take a little solace in rough night, chilly, April, Detroit, 39 degrees. All right. 877-337-6666. Let's get back to you. Obviously, Rangers on the table, the whole show. Great job. And we'll get back to them in a little bit. Bobby, what's going on, bud? How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
All's good, Bob.
I wasn't really going to talk that much about Garrett Cole, but what you just said now, when he changed, he does his fastball changeup. When you throw that hard, if you can locate a fastball changeup, that's all you need. You don't have to go through that crazy arsenal that he has, which I think he's half a head case anyway, and that messes him up with all those pitches that he throws.
Yeah.
But Nestor, on the other hand, I don't know if you guys ever listened to, you know, you ever heard of the Ryan Rocco and CeCe Sabathia
yeah,
podcast?
Yeah, I did. I did listen Rocco. To that CeCe. Yeah. I saw CeCe right after he did that one, and I told him, CeCe, you're getting really good at these interviews with the players because he relates. You learn something when you listen to CeCe talking to these pitchers.
Yeah. Did you hear the one with Nestor?
I did hear the one with Nestor. It was good because he was asking about where he got the nickname from. And he was like, it wasn't me. The fans just started calling me Nasty. It was like, all right, whatever.
But it shows you listen to him talk, there's a method behind, like, he's not a fluke. He's the real deal.
That's
man.
Right. And that's what I was saying, Bobby. Yeah. You can tell there's a process to what he's doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's not by accident that he's having the season right now.
Right. He is really, he's not one of those, you know, pitchers are weird people sometimes, especially lefties, but he has a process and he knows what he's doing. That guy's legit, man.
Yeah, I agree with you. By the way, CeCe and Ryan's podcast is R2C2 podcast.
So, you know, Teak was off on Friday, and I brought this up, and I'm not saying I expected the Yankees to take 3 out of 4 in Chicago. Yeah, they got some good players, obviously, but they did, right? And I painted a picture where this obviously includes the games going into Chicago. So I said late last week that if the Yankees could go 9-5 over the next 14 games, and they're already ahead of the pace, taking 3 out of 4, I mean, you might have a chance to bury, certainly Toronto. I don't think you bury the Rays. I think the Rays are just too good.
Yeah.
But, Teak, you know, starting tonight, all right, boom, 4 in Baltimore, and then you have 3 for the White Sox at home, and then you've got 3 for the Orioles at home. 7 of the next 10 games are against the Orioles.
Yeah.
Without John Means, their best pitcher out for the year.
I remember looking at this earlier, VT, and that's why we talked about it, right, with Baltimore and the White Sox coming up again, and then Baltimore and then Tampa. By the end of May, the Yankees could take 10 games by the end of May. You know, talking about victories. And so now all of a sudden you're up to 40 wins, or close to 40 wins before you get to June. How do you not feel amazing about this team?
You still got to stay healthy.
Of course.
But you
100%.
Should. 100%. You should. Because they're different.
Yes.
As we've said, they catch the ball. Now, I know IKF had a rough weekend on the bases. He's booted a few. But that's an aberration. They're just so much more whole, so much more appealing to watch aesthetically. They're good. Yankees are really, really good. Joe's up in Westchester. What up, Joe? And we haven't been able to say that for a couple of years. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Want to talk about Nestor Cortez again, okay?
Yep, go ahead.
This guy's been unbelievable, as we all know, right?
Yep.
So I picture going forward 3 scenarios. Number one, he gets hurt, okay? We'll be bummed out. Number two, hitters figure him out, right? Number three, this guy becomes the talk of Major League Baseball this year, right?
Yeah, I mean, it could.
Incredible.
That absolutely could happen. And BT was, you know, he was alluding to this. If he's the starter in the All-Star game, because he's, you know, by the time we get there, he's got a 1.5 ERA. He's got, you know, 80 strikeouts.
11 wins.
11 wins.
10 wins.
And sitting up there atop Gerrit Cole as the better pitcher on this Yankee rotation. Of course he's going to become the talk of Major League Baseball because he's not – it wasn't predictable. Like, we weren't saying, keep an eye out for Nestor Cortez. Nestor Cortez is going to have – nobody was saying this. And so if he does it and nobody's expecting it, it obviously makes it a lot more interesting and compelling. And throw on the fact that he's a great dude, it just adds to the praise you want to throw his way.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the one guy he reminds me of, remember Fernando Valenzuela back in the day?
No, but he had that, of course. Oh, yeah. I mean, he was a phenomenon, that guy. He was, when he burst on the scene, thanks for the call there, Joe. I remember. Yeah,
the delivery was just.
Oh, guy looking up at the stars. He had a screwball. You know, he was like a little heavy. Didn't look like a great athlete. Came from Mexico. I mean, he was just incredible. Fernando Mania was a real thing.
I always wondered how he located the, like, where. Like,
I have no idea.
How do you take your eye off of where you're throwing?
A couple of guys did that. Louis Tiant did that back. Like, Louis would do it differently. Louis, when he turned before he delivered to home, he would actually basically look at second base. So his eyes were totally off the target.
So
but it's rare, to your point.
But as he's coming back, he's got to find it again. Like,
oh, yeah. You got to find it. Oh, yeah.
I mean, talk about muscle memory.
That's what it is.
That's the only thing that could be.
I mean, think about Jim Furyk's golf swing. You wouldn't teach that to anybody. No. Just sometimes there's things that, you know, guys do. I remember the first time we went to Disney in 81. I remember because there was no 7-Elevens in Brooklyn. There was none. And I was like, 7-Eleven? I felt like I got a pot of gold. I'm like, well, I could not wait. And we were like, you know, like at a Days Inn or a Howard Johnson. Like, that's the kind of hotel we stayed in.
How many Slurpees did you have?
But I got a Fernando one. That's the point. I remember. I'm like, this guy's incredible. You know, listen, Cortez is a great, great, great story, but he's not the only great story. And now, and I told you guys that you were going to like Josh Donaldson, and now you start to see reason why. The little dust up with Anderson at third base the other night. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm just trying to tag you. I'm here to play ball, dude.
That's right.
If you don't like the way I tagged you, I really don't know what to tell you, number one. And that play that he made up the line yesterday, which was a great play.
Yeah, don't get out. That's how I won't tag you. That was in the seventh?
Talking about with Anderson or the play down the line yesterday?
Down the line.
That was in the eighth inning.
Yeah.
That was a great play.
That's right.
You know, and this doesn't mean anything, but as a former first baseman, I am amazed at how casually Anthony Rizzo catches the ball. I have never seen a first baseman, and that's not a knock.
So it's like he's not the most casual. He's not stressing about it.
Not at all. Like, none of these guys stress when it's getting this innocuous throw from the middle. But
you see some of these guys, they're like aggressive with it. Like,
a little bit.
Smash the glove down and snatch it up on the short hop.
He's so smooth,
he's just kind of like, it's in my glove.
Yeah, he just catches it right at the chest, very nonchalant, doesn't drop any. Yankees look really good. And now Donaldson's starting to hit a few bombs. You know, too, you look at, and I guess we need to stop talking about, for at least for now, Stanton's contract.
Mm-hmm.
We got to stop talking about it.
Yeah, but the only reason it becomes relevant is because they haven't paid Aaron Judge. And so you look at, is that why they're not paying Aaron Judge? Because Stanton's contract is so big, it makes it untenable if they also sign.
Does anybody really think that Mike Stanton, the former Yankee pitcher, that Giancarlo Stanton will be on the opening day lineup for the Yankees next year and Aaron Judge will not? Does anybody actually think that?
Maybe a little bit.
Well, come on. Let's go to Robin Queens on the Fan, Tiki and Tierney Show. What's up, Robbie?
BT, I hate to do it when I call and bash you, but
what?
turn it back a month ago. They are the most flawed team in the world. Cashman is the worst general manager. I hate to say it, but he has to go. Easy, Tiger. They're winning now. But you know what? They're one injury away from you saying, oh, Giancarlo Stanton, I can't believe they haven't, because him, they're going to lose Judge. You are like, you run with the wind, man.
You
it's
know, Rob,
unreal.
So Rob, we, you know what you and I need to do? And I love the needle. I love the calls. I love that you listen to what's said and you hold us accountable. That's awesome, right? But you and I need to at least come up with a set date where you stop referencing what I used to say. Because I don't know if you caught the show the other day, Rob. I flat out, straight up apologized to Brian Cashman.
I heard you.
So what else did I said... I was wrong. What else to say to you, man? I was wrong.
Everybody says that they have a really tough June schedule. So you know what? If on July 1st they're sitting where they're sitting, then you can tell me how great they are and they're a changed team.
Robert, where did you think they were going to be this year? What did you think was going to happen?
I thought that we had to wait and see what was going to be. Donaldson, everybody was knocking the Donaldson signing. Everyone was knocking the kind of Falefa, even though people said, no, but at least he could feel. We don't have Glaber at shortstop anymore.
Yeah.
I'm only saying like this. Let's wait and see. A month ago, Garrett Cole was the worst signing in New York history.
I never said that. Rob, I never said that. I never remotely broached that point.
We just needed him to get right.
Yeah, that's it. And by the way, I thought the Yankees, and I said this during the winter, as much as I was bothered by their offseason and apparently wrong, that the Yankees were a wild card team.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees at 92 wins. I had the Mets at 93 or 94.
Yeah.
I had the Jays winning the East, and I had the Yankees a wild card with the Rays.
The difference is everyone assumes every season that the Yankees are going to be a World Series team.
Not the last couple of years we had.
And we didn't think the Yankees were a World Series team.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, hence that's where that anger was coming.
Exactly.
Yes, to an extent.
They're going to be a playoff team, but they've been a playoff team. They're consistently a playoff team.
And
they're never not going to be a playoff team when you have a 200 and $20 to $60 million payroll like the Yankees have had over the last few years. You're going to make the playoffs. But making the playoffs is what you always do.
I don't know, man. I'd rather listen to a guy in a show. I would appreciate somebody getting on the air saying, I was wrong. Like, I misread. Would you rather have me coming on the air every day and say, oh, this isn't sustainable. Oh, Cashman. No, sometimes you know, things are done and you misread it or whatever, and you just got to come correct, man. That's the way you got to do it.
Here's the question, though.
If you don't do it that way, that's not cool.
Is it sustainable?
Yes, it is. Now, sustainable for 110 wins? No. Do I think the Yankees are a better constructed team? More contact, more speed, more depth, and a better defense, and all the metrics back this up? No question. No doubt. That part is not a mirage. The Yankees are a lot better than a year ago. Now they got to stay healthy.
Hear a great moment on The Fan that you want to hear again and again and again and again. Pause, go back, and then skip ahead with Rewind on the Odyssey app.
I'm like, are you sure? She's like, yes, she needs.
Just download and search WFAN.
The Tiki and Tierney Show here. It's 11:28 on this Monday here on The Fan. We've got a little Yankee chatter going on right about now. Yankees are rolling. Rangers rolling. Back to the Blue Shirts coming up at noon. Yankee tickets at 12:20. 877-337-6666. Listen, you know, I know it's not a large percentage of people, but there's still an element of, well, Cortez is doing it with smoke and mirrors. Mm-hmm. It's almost like if you're on the PGA Tour and you don't hammer at 3:30 on a fly. Oh, this guy can't really be that good. Well, if you have a sublime short game, maybe
you
can be.
You do, and you put your lights out, you can win.
Right? And what's interesting, you know, he really reinvented himself. You gave some of the numbers earlier. You were on FanGraphs, and I think it's my favorite site in terms of the deep dive. So with the Orioles, this you didn't give. I want to add some context to what you already gave.
Yeah.
So with the Orioles, he threw his fastball 62%.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
...percent of the time. That is far too much for somebody who back then was only throwing 88 miles per hour. All right? And his slider was 20-something percent. Now...
24.
Yeah. 20, yep. Thank you, T. 24%. From 18... The fastball's gone from 62% of the time to this year, 41.5%. And it's been, you know, accented by the slider, which is now 40%, a 16% jump.
Yep.
So he's a different guy.
That's right.
It's a different pitcher.
And by the way, they look similar because his fastball is 90 miles an hour. His slider is 86 miles an hour. So you don't know what he's actually throwing, and especially when he's changing up his arm angle. So you feel like you're getting the same pitch, and it's cutting in on you or cutting away from you. If you're a lefty. So, I mean, he's just really smart with how he's pitching because he's not overpowering.
No, he's not even close to being overpowering.
He's not even trying to throw a ball by you.
Dude, I got news for you. If I watch a lot of college baseball, right? By the way, shout out to Marist. which has the longest Division I winning streak in all the country.
Is that right?
That's right, boy. 11 straight for the Red Foxes.
Fantastic.
But you don't get to see the Red Foxes much on TV. My point is that I watch a lot of SEC baseball. It's on all the time, right?
Yep.
Big 12, Big 10. And if you put Cortez on a Big 10 mound or an SEC mound, you wouldn't even say he was overpowering against college kids.
That's right.
He's not.
You're right.
He's just a crafty pitcher. Somebody texted me or tweeted me before. You know, we throw out Jimmy Key because you kind of think former Yankee. And there's a little comp there. Somebody hit me up and they said, what about John Tudor? Not a bad comp. You got to be a little bit older and watch John pitch. That made a little sense to me as well. Without saying that he's the next John Tudor, but I could see that. Dave's in Northport. What's up, Dave?
Hey, I'm talking to T.G. and Tierney. This is great. How you doing?
We're good, dude. What's up, man?
Listen, you mentioned that nobody knew about Nestor Cortez. He came out of nowhere. I had a call because before the season started, Susan Waldman came on the air and said, watch out for Nestor Cortez.
Really?
He's going to have a phenomenal year.
That's great.
Susan Waldman. So I had to give her some credit, you know?
No, well, but by the way, Dave, when we say he came out of nowhere, we were implying this goes back to last year. We knew he was good last year.
Oh, no, I know. We all knew that. But he said he was going to have a phenomenal year.
Okay.
You know, like, he's just like, you know. So I had to give her that credit. That's all.
Baseball, Susan.
Yeah.
Baseball, Susan. All right, guys. Be good.
Appreciate you,
Thank
Dave.
You, Dave. Short hit, but it's all good. How about Jeff in Miller Place, New York? What's up, Jeff?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks,
just
Jeff.
Just wanted to speak about Nestor Cortez and who he reminds me of. And this is when I heard Boone talking about him. He says in one of his post games, maybe two starts ago, that the ball just gets on people. And when they show Cortez kind of pitching from like the side angle from first base, he throws across his body and almost kind of when he brings his hip around, he kind of slingshots the ball up. And that reminded me a lot of, though he's a much bigger man, what Sid Fernandez used to do with the Mets.
Oof.
And maybe, you know, I don't, it why someone that seemingly doesn't throw so hard is so hard to hit. So
yeah, but Sid, first of all, Sid was, oh man, Sid Fernandez was good. Interesting. I didn't mean to clip you there, Jeff. I'm sorry about that. I think that, first of all, they're completely different body types, as you obviously know. Sid threw harder. Although this defies physics, it's technically impossible for this to happen. The thing that they'd always say about El Cid's fastball is that it actually rose, which can't happen. It physically has been proven it cannot happen.
Where was his release angle?
Like he was just a big, heavy.
But he came over top, like he had an over the top delivery.
It wasn't a straight over. He was a little, not three quarters, but I guess I can see that, but I think more Jimmy Key, John Tudor. El Cid threw hard. I don't know what he maxed out at. The radars weren't as prevalent back then, but I'd have to think his fastball is a little bit more 90, maybe 93, 94. Let's get Ryan in Shelton, Connecticut. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. Long-time listener of the show.
4 months,
big fan of Jimmy Key. Since you guys have been on,
that's really long time, then, because it's the whole time.
Been riding with us since day one there, Tink.
I love it.
Day one, whole-time listener.
Awesome.
Let me just say, as a long-time Giant fan, it's criminal, Tiki, that you're not in the Hall of Fame, and I think you will be one day.
But that's not why
I'm calling.
Appreciate you.
The Nestor, I think when you look at Nestor, you know, he's a guy that I think in today's day and age you would want to invest in long term. If he does show you through this year, he keeps up. He's obviously 1.35 is not realistic, but if he finishes with like a high 2 or a low 3 ERA, I think you got to look at extending him because you don't have that worry of a Severino where he's going to blow out his arm from throwing so hard.
That's a good point.
A guy who he reminds me of what, you know, of Andy Pettit, of what CeCe did when he reinvented himself. He's crafty and you don't have to worry about him going from throwing high 90s to low 90s and getting, you know, being a home run derby pitcher.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's interesting. It's an interesting thought. The problem is he's still got 3 years of arbitration left. And so what's going to matter for him, it's criminally what he's getting paid right now, but it is what it is.
What is he making right now?
$727.
Oh,
but that's just...
Cut him a check and give him $5 million just for being what he's been.
I hear you, dude.
Come on. Under the table.
But let's just say he's in the... He's not going to win the Cy Young. Maybe he does. I mean, he could win the Cy Young. Let's say he finishes top three.
But even there, prime example. You were about to say, I mean, he's not going to... Why?
I mean...
There's been other Cy Youngs that were unlikely over the years. Not a ton.
I'm trying to think
there's
of
There's a couple.
I'm trying to think, and you're better at this, BT, and maybe you can just go look through it.
Go ahead.
the last Cy Young winner who wasn't like projected to be a Cy Young winner.
By the way, El Cid threw 95, as I thought. I just wanted to get that numbers out there.
Talking about the difference.
Well, I mean, the first one that comes to mind is the Tigers relief pitcher, Hernandez, from 84.
Yeah.
But he was really good, but I didn't know. He won the MVP, I think, actually, too.
But he's a relief
pitcher. Relief pitcher, which was very, they started 35-5. That was a quirky, that's different. I know what you mean. A starter who won the Cy Young that was not expected.
Yeah, it just kind of came out of nowhere and won the Cy Young.
Got to really chew on that a little bit. There were a couple of the soft tossers. Go back to the 80s. I mean, I can look it up, too. Nothing jumps out now, but there's definitely been a few.
Either way, it's been a while, right? And so for him to win the Cy Young, it would be kind of unprecedented for the modern game as we look at it.
It would be wild.
So 3 years of arbitration left, BT.
Uh-huh.
So the only way, and this was my point on the Cy Young, is that he gets paid a little bit, and the Yankees try to say something, try to give him something, as a 2 or 3 year deal, is if his arbitration is significantly higher than what they had ever budgeted for. But that's not even going to change that much. So unfortunately, he's stuck. If the Yankees want to play hardball, if they want to do what they're doing to Judge, to Nestor Cortez, which they're not, they could.
Listen, I don't want to put myself monetarily in his shoes because when
by the way, they paid Seve early.
I know they
and
did.
We know what happened.
4 years, $40 million.
We all know what happened with that.
Yep. I get it. But unlike Judge, who was a late first-round pick, I mean, Cortez was a 36th-round pick. I'm sure this is unfair to him. But maybe his monetary expectations are a little different. You just throw him a little bone, he'll be happy.
Yeah, no.
I'm not trying to marginalize
that would probably be the best thing to
do.
What you just said.
All right, Hal, let's go. Under the table. Go find the, I don't know, Howie Spearer back in the day to dig up dirt. Go find somebody that can give him a little money under the table. 877-337-6666. All in. New segment coming up at noon. We got Yankee tickets coming up at 12:20. And the first little speed bump for the Mets. Not a big deal or something to worry about. We'll get to that coming up as well.
The Fan is on your smart speaker. To listen to the home of New York sports, just say, "Hey Google, play WFAN."
Nice. Vibe here. It's Tiki and Tierney. So we were kicking around before, kind of a random name that won a Cy Young. Again, who knows where this ride for Cortez takes us. But if you can't mess around and have a little fun in mid-May when the guy's got a sub-2 ERA for the first-place Yankees, when can you? And, I knew that there were a couple of names. I threw out the relief pitcher from the Tigers in 84, Hernandez, with a sick year. I got a couple for you. And two are actually ironically tied to the Mets here. So you had Steve Stone, who bounced around, was in only one All-Star game.
What year was that?
That was 1980.
Okay.
That's the year that he won the Cy Young.
Yep.
All right. John Detti never made an All-Star game, won the Cy Young in 83 for the Phillies. You and I were talking before we just said this to each other during the commercial break. R.A. Dickey in 2012 with the Mets. It was great. He was 20-5 or 20-6 with a sub-3 ERA. But I think the greatest example of going from absolute obscurity to the Cy Young and one of the best, actually the best in the game, is Mike Scott. Now, Mike Scott's a guy who, and obviously Met fans know him because you played him in 86, and you also drafted him out of Pepperdine. He gets drafted by the Mets, I think it was round 2 or 3, pretty early, right? And because he was a college pitcher, he doesn't go to rookie, high A, goes right to double A in 77.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 78, 79, he's in triple A, 1980, triple A. And I remember this as a kid. I remember seeing Mike Scott's baseball card. And, obviously my dad watched it. And I remember seeing him pitch, too. And he stunk. He was always on the Tidewater Express. Talk about the Columbus Express. This guy, Tidewater, the old Mets triple A home. Triple A, Mets, triple A, just a complete non-entity at the major league level. Then he learned how to scuff a baseball. And he mystified the 86 Mets, who were great, as you know, and that sick game at the Astrodome. And he was unhittable, over 300 strikeouts. Nobody could tell. Matter of fact, he beat Dwight Gooden in game one of the NLCS that year before Doc went to rehab. So Doc was still Doc.
Yeah.
1-0 in the game one of the NLCS before Orozco flung his mitt up. I'm not even sure if that thing ever came down when they won it in game seven, that crazy games. But Mike Scott, or game six, because they would have faced Scott in game seven. Mike Scott's the answer.
At 31, that's the guy. At 31 years old, that's what the guy. He did it. Yeah, I'm looking at his stats now. Yeah, I mean, they explode.
Exactly. Well, he learned how to scuff the baseball.
Inning pitched, strikeouts, everything.
Yep. Well, unhittable. For a couple years.
Yeah.
Unhittable. And if the Mets had to face him in that game seven, Mets are not beating him. I mean, everybody knew it. Like, Hernandez, Gary Carter, may rest in peace. They're all on the record. We couldn't touch this
dude. What do you mean, learned how to scuff?
The ball literally
went. I understand that, but
like a wiffle ball with this guy.
But learned how to scuff it.
Scuff it properly. He was cheating. I mean, I can actually have visuals in my head of somebody, I don't know who flipped it, like somebody flipping a ball to Hernandez during that series. And like Hernandez, as the captain, like examining it. And, like, all the guys, like, waiting for his verdict. And he's like, yep, he's scuffing. And he kind of flips it aside.
But there was nothing a wiffle ball. But there was nothing they could do about it?
They kept telling the umps.
And the umps did nothing about it?
No.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, this was before my time here in New York.
But Tink, it was a... We were young.
Yeah, exactly.
I was 13. You were 12. I mean, the wiffle... It was like a five-foot movement. It was freaky. But that's a guy that I should have said immediately. Mike is in Suffern. Mike is on the Fan. What's happening, Mike?
Hey, Brandon, Tiki, what's going on, guys?
All's
how are
good,
you?
Dude.
Hey,
good, man, what's up,
Mike?
All's good, all's good. Yeah, no, so I actually think I called you guys a couple weeks ago, and I told you, look, I don't care what the Yankees do all year, because I'm telling you right now, they're losing in the ALDS regardless.
Why?
But I'll tell you what, man, I may be coming around a little bit, and I'll tell you why. Because there's one thing that I've been seeing from the Yankees that I'll tell you what, I haven't seen probably since 2009. Is that they are stringing together good at-bats consecutively.
Yeah.
When's the last time we saw them do that, no?
Well, think about yesterday, all the walks. Think about the sick comeback the other night when they won, I guess it was 15-7.
Mm-hmm.
Walks, you know, Gleyber Torres was in the hole 0-2. Listen, that's the point. Coming off the bench, by the way, to pinch hit. Nobody knows, hey, to get on the air and say the Yanks are going to win the World Series is like the most moronic, hollow, who knows?
Too much can go wrong.
But what we can say and what we are saying is that they are far better equipped to try to win World Series.
I think it's because of where we started this season thinking about them. Not that they were going to be bad. We never said the Yankees are going to suck. We said the Yankees are going to be good. They're just not going to win the World Series.
Well, we thought they were the same Yankees.
Exactly.
Hit home run, strike out, slow.
Were. And they sacrificed power for defensive efficiency. Right, you move on from Sanchez. You got Higashioka behind the dish.
I don't like the guy. I honestly like Trevino better. I like Trevino better.
My point is, Gary Sanchez could hit 25 to 30 home runs potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Higashioka is going to hit 8.
Yeah, I thought he had a good spring too. Remember,
it's
this
spring.
Guy's going to hit some bombs
it's
this
spring.
Year.
Yeah, IKF, he's not hitting any home runs.
Doesn't need to.
He's getting on base.
Yep.
But you sacrifice. I mean, Gleyber was your shortstop. You replaced the shortstop with IKF. You're losing 20 home runs.
Yeah.
So power wise. How are you going to say they were going to be better, right? But for whatever reason, and probably, to be honest, BT, team construction-wise, they're better off than they were. And that was something that doesn't present itself until you see them play, right? Until you see how Josh Donaldson picks it at first and Rizzo—
At third.
And how Rizzo picks it at first himself. But mm-hmm. how Rizzo, you know, in his contract year, how he plays, how they all do it together is something you can't— see on paper. And so on paper, you're saying this is the same team, if not worse. But in actuality, they're better. They're better constructed.
I'm sorry, Teek. I got a question. Weaving in the Mets here. We're going to do more Mets next hour. Some little cracks in the Mets foundation.
No, stop.
No, I'm just saying.
It's just one series.
No. McGill, so we'll get to it later. Next hour, actually very soon. But right now, how many All-Stars you think would represent New York? You got Judge. You got Stanton. You've got
Nestor.
Cortez.
Nestor.
Yep.
Cole.
I was going to say probably Cole. And, I mean, Chapman's numbers are actually pretty good. I'm not a huge Chapman fan.
But King has been great. So, I mean,
that's true, too.
Not gonna,
Maybe one arm for the pen. So five now, you'd say?
I'd say five.
Okay. And the Mets, you would have Scherzer for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Alonso.
Yeah.
Maybe Diaz.
Maybe.
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 Maybe. I'd have to go see relative to other closers.
Well, Hader's been unhittable, but Hader's just, you know, as good as anybody. Yeah, but he Diaz is in the neighborhood. Let me see.
So you're giving three from the Mets, five from the
Yankees. Well, I just want to make sure I'm not missing anybody from the Mets. Like, Nimmo's good, not an all-star. McNeil's having a good year, not an all-star. Canna, Escobar, catcher, no. Lindor, no.
I mean, if McNeil is hitting 360, right?
Yeah, I mean because what's he at now, 320? What is he at? I'm not even sure what he's at.
It might be a little bit higher than that. But, I mean, I say that because the fan vote, right? The fan vote matters. And if the Mets are engaged, which they are, clearly, Mets fans, they're going. Not that you have the ballot in the seat like you used to.
Oh, I used to love that as a kid. Right?
But
vote for every Yankee, vote for every Met.
Met fans are going to be high on their guys. Mm. So it sways it. You might get an extra one because of that.
Yeah, but who would the extra one be? I mean, Lindor's not an all-star right now. His OPS is 710.
I'm saying McNeil. So if he's hitting 360,
I don't know,
by
man.
The all-star break.
I mean, probably not. That NL West has a lot of guys who are going to be on the all-star team.
True.
You know?
True. And the Dodgers, their fan vote will.
Yep. Plus you get that whole, are they still doing the vote where the fans get to vote the last guy on, like they give you like five names?
Yeah, they usually do.
So hard to keep up with that.
Yeah.
Right, and then one guy, usually the Japanese vote gets that.
It doesn't feel like it's on merit. It is, obviously, because you're not a nobody, but it doesn't feel like it's on merit. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of on...
Sometimes it does. Yeah. Popularity, circumstances.
Exactly.
Let's get, how about Lewis and West Hempstead on the Fan, Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Lewis?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
All's good.
Happy Monday.
Listen, are Mondays ever happy?
Yeah. Rangers won a game
seven.
That's
true, I guess so.
We're happy.
That's true.
Let's go, bud.
Yes, I'm doing well.
Okay, so what do you got? Let's pick it up.
I got the ultimate comparison.
Okay.
Bob Ojeda with Nestor Cortez.
Yeah, that's certainly better than El Cid. That's a pretty good one. Bobby's a big guy, though. Bobby was more physically, just thicker. In terms of stuff, Bobby didn't quite throw 95 like El Cid did.
Yeah.
I would still go more Jimmy Key, John Tudor hybrid, but Mojita's not terrible. That's not a bad one. Let's get Dennis and Newton, PA. What's going on, Dennis?
Well, guys, I got a new one for you. How about this guy? And this will take you way back.
Uh-oh.
Whitey Ford.
Yeah, I just never saw Whitey pitch. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We can't.
He throwed a curveball. He throwed a slider. Once in a while, maybe 90 miles an hour fastball, but they go up and want to hit this guy, and they're swinging, could never hit him. And he was the ultimate guy. He's a small guy, Cortez.
I know Whitey is small. The radars and fan graphs and data are a little different, but did Whitey not throw, he didn't get it up to 92, 93?
No, not really.
No, not at all?
You're lucky he threw two fastballs a game. Just one.
Really?
Against the big guy. Well, that's when I watched him. I'm going back to where, God Almighty, I was before God was born.
I got you. I got, but he had to throw more. I'm sure he'd be a little facetious. Two fastballs again. There's no way.
Well, I mean, I watched him play, you know, pitch, and he had these big guys that were always coming. Larson and these guys would come in and throw the ball. And then they bring Whitey in, and he'd throw the changeup. And they're trying to swing. And, of course, Mantle will come up and hit a couple out of the ballpark, and that would be into the ballgame.
It'll be a wrap. Yankees win 8-1, like usual. I got you.
This is from this is from Gallo out in the newsroom.
What'd Gallo say?
A more svelte Bartolo Colon.
What? Gallo, stay in the newsroom with that. Actually, get more in the editing room. You're not even allowed in the newsroom. Bartolo Colon. I mean, I really like Gallo. That's the dumbest comparison I've ever heard.
Really?
Yes. One's a lefty, one's a righty, one's slight, one's huge.
Just how he pitches, BC. Just how he pitches.
No way.
And he is jolly for a skinny guy.
Yeah, that is the worst baseball comp I have ever heard in my life. Mm. That's like saying...
Gallo. You sound like Boomer. Stop.
That's like saying Wayne Tolleson and Derek Jeter is a good comp. Or, I don't know, Rafael Santana and David Wright. Are good. What are we talking about, Gallo? He's still high and euphoric from the Rangers win. Gallo, love him. But that's ridiculous. All right, 877-337-6660. Sit up. Got a new segment coming up here. Let's see if this one can last a couple of weeks. All in We'll hit that little Ranger stuff. Also, we've got Yankee tickets, and I know. Hey, listen, it took a long time to lose their first series. I'm not sounding the alarm on the Mets, but a couple of things from this weekend that you cannot like, and we'll talk about the Mets as well here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.